Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
Nature. I got a good quote from Napoleon Hill. He said, "Lack of loyalty is one of the major causes of failure in every walk of life." Now, we mentioned some things that we are already loyal to, but if we are not loyal to our job, we can what? You can get fired. You can go home. You can lose the job, right? If we're not loyal to, let's say we're playing sports or something, if we're not loyal to the team, what happens? They kick you out. So, lack of loyalty is one of the major causes of failure in every walk of life. The actual definition of loyalty is the act of binding yourself intellectually or emotionally to a course or action. It's also faithfulness or a devotion to a person, country, group, or cause. Some words that are similar are commitment, allegiance, dedication, and trueness. Now, what I'm talking about today is obvious because when we're in church, what are we trying to be loyal to? God, amen? It doesn't take us rocket science to understand where I'm coming from. We need to make sure our loyaltiness or our allegiance is with God. We have to make sure, we have to check ourselves daily and say, God, am I being loyal to you or am I being loyal to myself? There's a lot of things that Marquise wants to do, right? But the Word of God says there are ways that seem right to a man, but the end they lead to death. But it says, commit all your ways unto God, and he will direct your path. He will uphold you. He will be with you. Amen. He said he also will make your thoughts come to pass. That's what God's word says. So it is our job to make sure that we are loyal to God. The most effective way, who wants to know what the most effective way is to minister to somebody? The most effective way to minister to somebody is not through your big words. It's not picking your big old Bible up and sitting it down and dropping it and saying, hey, this is what you got to do. The most important thing is your lifestyle. I saw Janae say that. She knows. The most important thing is your lifestyle, but it has to be a lifestyle of loyalty to God. Amen? How many of us have seen people that said they were Christians and they're sold out for God, but they do things the opposite of what they say? So guess what? They weren't loyal to what they said that they were. And it's unfortunate that we are depicted as these type of characters in movies, in books, and all that kind of stuff when they talk about Christians. Even today, there's a prominent preacher who's on trial for something that he may have did or may have not done. But what are they checking? They're checking his loyalty. Even though it might have happened a long time ago, they're looking at it and saying, hey, this pastor did this. Can we trust pastors? Right? That's really what we're battling, because lack of loyalty, as a quote said, causes failure in every walk of life. Amen? So the most important way that we can impact people is through a life of loyalty to God. We must be loyal to God's kingdom. Somebody say we must be loyal to God's kingdom. What's another thing we must be loyal to? We must be loyal to God's word. Somebody say God's word. That is why it's very important that we as Christians don't just come to church to read God's word, but we get into God's word on our own. If you have no loyalty to God's word, you're not going to know what God's word is. If you ain't reading God's word, you can't do God's word. So now you have a lack of God's word. What's the other thing that we can be loyal to? We must be loyal in doing God's work. Somebody say God's work. God has called each and every one of us to take his message to the world. He has called us to be the Christ that people don't see. Have any of you ever saw in life, you're like, man, I feel like there's a lack of something. You feel like, oh, man, sometimes I see this person right here, but something is lacking. God is showing you that so you can speak to that person, so you can pour into their lives. If your only job is to be a pastor, that's not what you're supposed to be here to do. Before my dad was a pastor, he had to do lots of legwork. He had to do ministry with people sometimes all night, right, Dad? People come and they're hurting. That's a job of a Christian, not a pastor. Somebody say amen. It's your job to take the message of Christ, take the same message that you hear from the pulpit, and go and feed it to others. Amen? That's a life of loyalty to God's work. What's the last thing I want to say about loyalty? You know what the next one is? We must be loyal in our relationship with Christ. Somebody say relationship. Last night I was at the corridor. I preached a quick message on soldiers for Christ. One of the key things to being a soldier is knowing your identity, right? In an army, there's plenty of soldiers, but do all those soldiers do the exact same thing? No, they have different identities. They have different jobs that they need to do. Some might do guns. Some might work machines in the back. They might work computers, but they know their identity. And that's because they get it from their commander or their chief, right? We get our identity from who? Our commander in chief, and his name is Jesus Christ. So when you have a relationship with him, it's going to tell you, this is who you are, Quentin. This is going to tell you, this is who you are, McQuester. This is going to tell you, this is who you are, Hannah. This is who you are, Michael, Monica. I'm going to stop naming names or I'll be here all day. I might have forgot some of your names. No, I'm playing. But this is who you are, Philip. That's how you find out who you are in Christ. Amen? It's by having a loyal, somebody say loyal, relationship. Because we have relationships with people in our lives sometimes. I have a relationship with Karis, but it's not a loyal relationship with Karis. Because that's Eric's child. Now, Eric has a loyal relationship with her, right? Because that's his child. Now, if it's Markayla, I have a loyal relationship with her. That means it's my job to make sure I'm in relationship with her because that's my daughter. We have to have that kind of relationship with God. It's my job to make sure I am getting right in right connection with God. Some things that affect our loyalty to Christ are as follows. Number one, somebody say the cares of this world. Now, how many of us want nice things? Come on, man. Everybody's hand should be up. My mom wants a new car, right? I ain't going to say what kind of car it is or she's going to whoop me. I mean, I would love to get a new car. I would love to get a house. I would love to get my kids some new clothes. I would love to get me some new shoes. Nobody doesn't like new things. But if your drive is more for the things in life or the bills in life than it is for God, there's a problem. All right? Somebody's like, what is he saying? Let's go to the scriptures. Matthew chapter 13. I think everybody got electronic Bibles because we don't hear no paper, huh? All right, when you have it, you can say amen. Amen. We're going to go 1 through 23. Somebody said, dang, that's long, but it's all good. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell on by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell by on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out, choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So I'm going to stop right there. This is why people that are not saved, that haven't surrendered their life to God, don't understand God's word. Because God has said, I've revealed the mysteries to my children. It says it right there. I'm going to keep on going. It says, for whoever has, to him will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, somebody say blessed, for they see. And your ears, somebody say ears, for they what? Now who is he talking to? He's talking to his children. God's children can see and hear God's word. They can understand it because he has taken the blindfolds that the enemy tries to place in front of people that are not saved. He's taken that away from us. Okay? So the next time you are trying to explain something to somebody who isn't saved and it seems plain to you and they're not getting it, it's because their eyes have not been opened. Right? Does the God's word just say that? Oh, I can't hear nobody. Okay. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. This is where Jesus actually explains what happened. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is he who received the seed by the wayside. That's one person. They didn't understand it, right? It has a couple of different people. Verse 20 says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Let me stop right there. That sounds like a good guy, right? He heard the word. He's like, thank you, Jesus. I got it. How many of us know people that get it? I got it. But then let's keep on reading. Yet he has no root. Somebody say root in himself, but endures only for a while. Somebody say a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, somebody say because of the word, immediately he what? He stumbles. Now this person got the word. They were like, yeah. Woo-hoo. They ran with it. They were like, yes, I got it. But when persecution, because of the word of God, Where does that persecution come from? It doesn't come from the word. It comes from people of the world. They're saying, it sounds good what you read, but I don't really believe that. So what happens there? Oh, man, my best friend doesn't really believe that. Persecution. Well, do I still want to be my best friend's best friend? Or do I want to be this word's best friend? Well, let me back up a little bit. I'm going to kick it with my friend right now. That's because they didn't receive it all the way. Amen? And they stumble. 22 says, now he who receives seed among the thorns, somebody say the thorns, is he who hears the word and the cares, here comes that word, cares of this world, somebody say cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now this is, we already seen about how many people is this, the third? It's the third or fourth person that received these seeds. Third, okay. This is the third person that heard the message of God, but it doesn't seem like it's sticking. Why? Because the cares of this world have taken away all three of them. It's stripped them of their loyalty to God's word. Amen? But let's go to verse 23. Somebody say, finally. Somebody say, finally. And I'm saying finally because this person got it, okay? Not because it's the last, because it's the last verse. But he who receives seed on the good ground, somebody say good ground, is he who hears the word and what? Understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now this person, he was loyal to God. When it comes to, they received the word of God, and while receiving that word of God, since they were loyal and they were doing their study, and they were like, okay, what does this really mean? God, grant me understanding. Give me understanding of what your word means. Since he was loyal, or she was loyal, God allowed them to understand it and apply it to their life. Amen? This is why it's very important that we be loyal to God's word, loyal to our relationship with Christ, and loyal to God's work. If you're not loyal to those three things, you're not going to be a proper Christian. You have to have a relationship with Christ. Because he's going to give you, I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. So many people are looking for a revelation from God when they don't even obey the things God's word says plainly. They're searching for, okay, God, I need a deep revelation. And God is saying something simple as this. Do not steal. But God, in that case, I had to feed myself. I was hungry, right? I'm making it really simple. But God is saying, his word says, do not steal. His word, let's do another one. His word says, because some of you probably have never stolen it. Has anybody stole something in here? Okay. Dang. No, I'm just playing. But I'm saying, let's say, love your neighbor. God's word says clearly to what? Love your neighbor. Now, you actually hate the person at your job. God's telling you, love your neighbor. God, I just need a word from you, God. And God is saying it, love your neighbor. Now, if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't do what God's word says plainly, he's not going to give you a revelation. That's why it's very important that we are loyal to God's word. Amen? Let's keep on. Another thing that keeps us from being loyal to God is selfishness. Somebody say selfishness. We are selfish people. If somebody step on your shoes, you might light a match on them, right? You might go off on them. If somebody rub you the wrong way, And maybe somebody didn't do it on purpose, but to you, you're like, oh, man, I'm about to light this guy up. Because you are selfish. Right? Are you selfish? Psalms 37, 1 through 9 is going to deal with selfishness. And when you got it, say amen. But a selfish person is an evildoer because it's all about themselves, okay? That's all they seek is themselves. But we are supposed to be seeking what? God's will. We're supposed to seek what God's word is saying. It says in Psalms verse 1 through 7, chapter 37, a psalm of David, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Selfishness is what? Not good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Instead of delighting in ourselves, we're supposed to delight yourself also in what? The Lord. Somebody say the Lord. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. See, this is the thing about God. If he'll reward you, somebody say reward. Reward. Say it like reward. Reward. God will reward you when you trust in him. Matter of fact, instead of being selfish, look, if you trust in God, he'll say, hey, them things that you already want, I'm going to give it to you. Because you trust, this is God's word. God's word never lies. God's word never dies. If he says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That is true. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. A selfish person, they're like, I'm going to do my own thing. Is my way or the highway? Matter of fact, my way is the flyway. Any other way? Byway. Now, if you see all those kind of things, that's how a selfish person is. But it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Somebody say rest. And wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. The selfish person, right? Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Now, how many of us have seen people that probably ain't living for, matter of fact, we know they ain't living for God, and they got some stuff that you want. Right. Man, I remember this. It's one of my friends. and I wouldn't say his name, but man, this guy got whips, man. And I know he is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. So I was driving my truck at the time, doing my job. And every time I'm driving, I would see this guy. And I'm like, oh, this is killing me. Now, I could be like, oh, let me go get it how he got it. Right? He got it. You can't deny what he got. But this is the thing about it. When you're selfish, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. I called this guy up. I can hear it in his voice. And he'll try to act like, oh, yeah, everything's cool, Keith. Everything's cool, Keith. But I can hear it in his voice. You're not even happy, bro. You just got a lot of toys to play with. But you by yourself. They're not happy. Because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass is going to fail. Workers of iniquity are not going to have a good life. Those who do things to get ill-gotten gain, they're not going to be happy with it. It won't satisfy them. Amen? So we have to stop being selfish so our relationship with God can continue to be a loyal relationship. The next thing I want to talk about is relationships. Somebody say relationships. We have to watch who we have relationships with as Christians. I'm not talking about just boyfriend and girlfriend. I mean, if you're married already, it's a little bit too late to worry about your relationship. Don't cut it off. God can work it together. Amen. We don't need any more divorces. But I'm saying our relationships make a huge difference in our loyalty with God. How many of us got people that we know that are our friends that are not saved? Everybody has friends like that. Let's read this scripture real quick. This scripture makes it real plain. You got it, Mike? Adulterers and adulteresses. Now, let me stop right there. This is not talking about sex at all. Okay? Somebody say, okay. This is talking about people that say their relationship with God, they have a relationship with God, but they really having a relationship with the world at the same time. That's adultery in the spirit. That's what God's talking about. Do you not know that friendship, somebody say friendship, with the world is enmity with God? Enmity means like he is not feeling it, y'all. All right? So say God ain't feeling it. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? An enemy of God. Now, this does not mean that we should not have friends that are unsaved. Let me clarify, because we're not in heaven yet. There's lots of people that are unsaved, but this means I can't be a friend of the world. The things that they do that is ungodly, that's where our friendship line stops. Oh, you want to go kick it? I mean, Tremaine, I've been talking to Tremaine. He was like, you know, I have some friends, and every time they're around me, they're like, hey, Tremaine, smoke this. And he's like, nah, I don't do that no more. That separation, he brings a separation and says, hey, my friendship with God is stronger than the friendship of the world. I can no longer do those things. That's not who I am. If you are having a relationship with the wrong people, it will affect your relationship with God. You have to know boundaries. You have to know when, okay, I can come talk to you, but can we go kick it at your house? Well, last time I was at your house, this and that happened. You can come to my house. Somebody said, you can come to my house. But last time I was at your house, things kind of went a little bit. That's because you don't have no business being in a worldly person's house. You don't have no control when you go to somebody else's house. Right? Listen, when you come to my house, you can't even watch certain channels. I got it locked. All right? I jerry-rigged it so you can't even get the lock. No, I'm playing. But I got it locked. Why? Because this is my house. When people come into my house, and if they say a cuss word, hey, bro, there ain't going to be no more of those words, or you got to shake. That means you have to leave quickly. Why? Because this is my house. I have to protect my house. Like Under Armour, I must protect this house. But when you go to the world, when you go to the worldly people's house, they're going to do anything they want. Is it all right if I smoke in front of you? Well, this I would prefer that you don't, but since this is your house, hey, you can do what you... You have to be wise. Your relationship with God must be stronger than a relationship with the world. That's why so many Christians fall off, is because they got so many unsaved friends. First of all, I would say this. If your friends and you tell them that you're saved, then they have a problem with it, cut them off. Say, hey, I can't deal with you right now. I need to go get my walk with Christ in order, because that's the most important thing to me. A lot of Christians that first get saved, this is what they don't do. You know what's funny? Like, it's funny because the world would say, you would say, hey, I'm a Christian. And instead of rejoicing with you, they're like, oh. How many of you got saved and you heard your friends say that? For real. Oh, are you serious, bro? So you're a holy roller now? They don't say that no more. But actually, some of people do. Why are you doing that? They don't care. Matter of fact, they hate it that you said you're a Christian now. Because now, if you're a real Christian, it's going to cause conviction in their life. Oh, you're a Christian. Man, I remember going to church with my grandma, and now they're getting a whole bunch of thoughts that you ain't even brought up. They're sweating and stuff like, oh, no, this is a Christian. But your loyalty with God is the best impact that you can have on their life. If you don't separate yourself from the things of the world, they're going to see that you have no loyalty. So your relationship with God is very important. And your relationship, and I will say this, let's take it a step further. He said, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. We have to be, on the other flip side, we have to be yoked with believers. Because I was just sharing this at the Puyallup Fair with a couple of people. Actually, I was sharing it at the fair and then yesterday, because some people just don't go to church. They think, I get saved and I could do it by myself. And I was telling her the importance of being around other believers is that they're going to hold you accountable. One, they're going to build you up. And not only that, their testimony is going to help you out. The word of God says we overcome by the word of the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Your testimony, this is why I would say this too. If you don't share your testimony, you are hindering other believers. Oh, well, they don't need to know what. You don't know. Your testimony may bring somebody else into the kingdom. There is, somebody say there's power in my testimony. God wants you to share that because in sharing that, you're building a relationship. Because sometimes, you know, we really don't, let's say when you first get in a relationship, you don't tell everybody everything. I mean, because if you start doing that, they're like, okay, this guy, he done take a step back because he's telling me everything that's going on in his life. I don't even know Cuddy. I don't know this guy. I'm sorry, Mom. I gotta dumb down on that language, I guess. Oh. So should we have unsaved friends? Yes, we're gonna have unsaved friends. But we need to separate the lifestyles. We have to be holy and separate unto Christ. Amen. And I'm gonna close right there. But I really, we're gonna pray. I'm gonna pray right now, and we'll figure that out. But God is really trying to say to us. Like I said, I wanted to wait and make sure I had a message for the congregation. Loyalty is not no accident. God gave me this word. I don't believe in accidents. I believe in God's providence. I believe that God speaks to, and I pray every day when I pray for God to give our pastors, our ministers, words that will impact the generation. Because it does no good for us to come to church and leave the exact same way. It does us no good. We're not going to get any more people to come to church. We're going to still be here and be like, how come our church doesn't grow? That's because nobody in the church is actually growing. It takes us growing. And when we expand, God's going to bring in more people. But God's loyal. He's saying, are you going to be loyal to me? Is there something in your life where you're saying, God, I failed in my loyalty to you. I failed in my commitment to you. God, I want to get my commitment right. I want to make sure that I really stay in the right connection with you. If that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up. Okay, come on up. We're going to pray, Mom. Because it's very important, if you want to be who God has called you to be, you need to be loyal. God's word is serious. God's word doesn't waver, but he's called us to be true to him. He's called each and every one of us. Dang, the whole church is coming up. Come on up then. He's called every one of us to be true and loyal to God. And there's different things in every one of your lives, and even my life, that I have to say, God, I got to get this out of my life. Being unloyal, it actually causes fear in your life. And fear is the opposite of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you get fear in your life, it's blocking your faith. Because you're not doing the things that you know that you're supposed to do. So Heavenly Father, Mom, do you have the anointing oil? We're just going to anoint them. And I want you guys to say this. Say, God, I am willing to be loyal to you, to fully commit myself to you, to fully follow you, God, to trust you, to not be selfish, to not be a lover of myself, but to love your will, to love your way. God, I say, I commit. I say, I commit to you in Jesus' mighty name. And this is what I want you guys to do. I'm not going to put hands on every one of you. We put the anointing oil. The anointing oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to confess, and you don't got to say it out loud, but I want you to confess to God some of the things that you know is keeping you from being loyal to God. And in doing that, you're going to be free. He's going to break you from the things that are keeping you from God. So I want you to start confessing those things now. Don't just stand there. Confess these things to God. If you want to be loyal, I didn't bring you up here. You brought yourself up here because you knew that I haven't been loyal to God. So those things that are keeping you from being loyal to God, confess them now. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we pray for each and every individual under the sound of my voice, oh God. God, we call them loyal men and women of God for your kingdom, oh God. We say, dear God, rid them of anything that is not like you, God. Dear God, break away relationships if they need to be broken away, oh God. Tear down strongholds. Tear down principalities. Tear down generational curses that are keeping them from being loyal to you, oh God. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that you would raise up a generation in these people right here, dear God, that are not going to take any mess anymore from the devil. Because they're going to be loyal to you, God. Their relationship is going to be stronger. Their minds are going to be stronger because they're going to be renewed by the word of God. Their lives are going to really impact people's lives. We pray for your Holy Spirit to move right now. Dear God, if somebody's uncertain of what is keeping them from being loyal, I pray that you reveal it to them right now. God, we pray for each and every one of them right now, dear God. We call them loyal men and women, loyal to their relationship with Christ, loyal to the word of God, and loyal to the work of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. And I'm going to say this before you go sit down. Hold on. Make sure them things that you spoke about, you get those out your life. It does you no good. There's no magic when we pray for you. Where the magic happens is when you actually start living it out. You start walking it out and say, okay, God, I said, God, I need to get this out of my life. You have to command those things to leave. Because if you don't command them, they're not going nowhere. They're just going to stay around you. Oh, I'll wait till 3 o'clock, and then I hit you again. Because your thoughts know what you're thinking. Your brain knows what's in your head, right? But when you start confessing these things and saying, I need you to get out of my life, your brain is like, what? Your flesh is like, what? Because it's a confession. There's power in your words. The word of God said there's life and death in your tongue. So when you speak, you command things to go, they must go. Amen. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for your word. God, we pray that you would seal it in each and every one of us. God, that it would not just be something that we heard today, God, but it would be something that we live today, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, dear God, we pray for their safety as they go to their separate places, different homes, dear God. But I pray that they would impact the nations for you, dear God. Starting with their homes, starting with their children, starting with their family. Dear God, we pray to God that we have a life that's loyal to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118, and our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.